What a wonderful day it is for us to be alive, alert, and active. For the Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration, and it's just good for us to be alive. Let me suggest it again. It's just good for us to be alive. There are so many other places we could have been, but the Lord has blessed us with mercy and grace that has afforded us the privilege of being present in this place one more time. Look at somebody and just say, it's good to be here. Amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord, in the house of prayer, in the house of His Word, worship. Amen. God is good, I tell you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank Him enough. But certainly with the one that we have, we are to give Him praise, glory, and thanks for blessing us to see another day. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Amen. Amen. I want to stress one of the announcements on tomorrow night at 6, the college and career fair. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we want to have the attendance and the support. This is a major step for our young people, and it's a lot of information, a pool of information to help them transition from high school to career or college. A lot of information that has been collected by the team, and I want you to take part in that. Listen, I know it's 9th through the 12th grade, but I want to include the 7th, 8th graders as well, because we need to be more proactive than reactive. Okay? And so I want us to get with Sister Mitchell for registration. Are we full? Rogers now. Yeah. My God.
So we just thank all of you for supporting this endeavor with helping our students, our grades 9.
All right.
I love her. Rogers will definitely be ready to open the doors to the 7th graders as well, because it's never too early to start looking at the parents.
Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The reason I said that is because I went to a seminar once with one of the former members or members of the former church, and it was stated that kids don't actually drop out in the 11th and 12th grade or 9th or 10th. They actually drop out in the earlier grades. It just manifests itself in those latter grades. And so we do all we can to make sure our children transition and mature so they can handle the next stage of life. We have great young people, and I want them to remain great and do great things for the Lord's glory and man's good. Amen. So thank you so much, Sister Mitchell, for that. Listen, share a line. Y'all kind of get it some kind of way. Information, because it's wholesome and healthy information that will help our young people make that next step, make that transition. And it is very important that you be prepared. Amen. I know what that's like, going to college, asking a lot of questions after you have entered into college. Sometimes discourage you. But if you have information prior, at least you know what you're in for and what awaits you. So thank you so much. Thank the team for y'all's hard work. And thank you all for registering, being a part of that. But I wanted to say that because that's so important. Amen. That's so important. I was watching the news on last week, and it said one of the school officials said our children are reading 2 or 3 grades behind. And I said, Lord, we have to do something. And I believe in holistic ministry, a multicolored, a multifaceted ministry, not just the spirit man, but the total man. that we can make an impact. We have a lot of gifts and giftings in this church. We can help our young people excel. We're talking about abounding in Christ. Amen. And y'all know there's nothing average about us. Amen. So thank you all much for your prayers. Listen, I want to also thank you for your participation on yesterday. I said at 8 o'clock service, listen, y'all have enough love in your hearts to love me and Reverend Walker. Y'all can love both of us at the same time. And not feel that you're cheating on one or the other. We listen, I want you to do that because he has invested 40 years of his life. Amen. And the scriptures say, death is working in us, but life is working in you. And if he has sown unto you his spiritual things, how much more shall he reap of your carnal things? Amen. And now that he's retired, I don't want to give the impression that he's done and gone. No, he's still ours. And listen, we are to, you know, encourage him and to motivate him, because I know how it is to preach. I love preaching, and I know he loves preaching. And so we give opportunity for him to preach, and then we want to share our love with him because he has done a great work in bringing this church to where she is. So bless God for Reverend Walker, and thank you for your participation on yesterday and your sentiments, and I know they were greatly appreciated by Dr. Walker and his family. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I have my two beautiful daughters here this morning, and my wife, Trinity Joy and Taylor. And now don't y'all get distracted in service now. But Trinity is here for around this second or third time, but the first time since the pandemic. And so thank you all for your prayers. Continue to pray for us. And we pray that and hope that numbers will continue to decrease and we get better so we can get back as close to normal as we possibly can in our worship experience. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody and having a worship time and a wonderful time in the Lord. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your presence today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me acknowledge these preachers, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Skipper, Reverend Mims. Do we have anyone else? All right. Thank God for them. Thank God for these deacons and trustees who have devoted us, the choir who sung so melodiously, environmental safety team and volunteers that have brought us in and properly sit us and thank you for your prayers and your presence here today. It's just good for us to be here. Amen. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Abounding in Christ, abounding grace. Look at somebody and say, abounding in Christ, abounding grace. Amen. Abounding in Christ, abounding grace. the abounding grace of God is realized during our moments of suffering. Suffering helps us realize that our attitudes of independence and self-sufficiency are inadequate. Suffering helps us realize that we cannot survive on our own. We cannot live life on our own. One songwriter says we cannot even walk without him holding our hand. Let me boldly declare, we need God's grace. Paul suffered. His suffering was described as a thorn in his flesh. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us that I believe every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has a thorn in the flesh. I'm not saying that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has the same size thorn. But I believe every man, every woman, every boy, every girl has a thorn. And regardless of the size of the thorn, it is irritating and it is aggravating. Paul suffered a thorn in his flesh. His thorn was a super addition to the existing infirmities. It was pressure on top of pressure, pain on top of pain. It was an irritable displeasure and a physical misery. Most of us, if not all of us, can identify with Paul because we have coined the saying, if it's not one thing, it's another. Before you can get over dealing with one thing, here comes something else. That life has thorns, and I believe every person in here, every person that's listening to me now through the virtual system, can agree with me that we all have thorns. All men have thorns because there is no life with perfect health. There is no human body free from ailment. There is no mind free from strain and stress. All of us have thorns. The thorn in the Greek literally means a stake, a sharpened wooden shaft used to impale or torture someone. Paul, he's not speaking literally, he's speaking figuratively, in that was something that Satan had thrust into his life that caused him pain and discomfort like a wooden shaft that's used to impale and torture. Paul, he understood the thorn. And he come to understand why God had allowed such a thing to happen in his life. If y'all got time, let me give you, first of all, the reason for allowing the thorn. The reason for allowing the thorn is humility. Humility. Let me hear you say humility. It is God's way of keeping us from becoming airheaded and big-headed. Because if we obtain or ascertain knowledge, sometimes knowledge will make us act more than what we are and cause us to become people of air and arrogance. So God allowed this thorn in Paul's flesh to keep him humble.
That's right.
It's humility. John MacArthur Jr. said, God knows that we are prone toward pride, especially when we are in a position of spiritual privilege. Therefore, God often uses opposition and suffering to teach us humility. Paul was privileged spiritually. The Lord had abundantly blessed Paul and graced his life with revelation. Jesus had appeared unto Paul at least four times personally, and Paul had received of him visions and revelation. You remember Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. It says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecute. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into a city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You remember Paul in Acts chapter 9. He was on his way to Damascus. He saw a light and he heard a voice. Listen, when you see a light and you hear the thunderous voice of Jesus Christ, it will change your life. He was headed to Damascus to do one thing, but God changed his agenda, kept him in the course of Damascus, but changed what he was going to Damascus for. He heard a voice and saw a light. He had revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know how it is when you have your own epiphany, when you have your own God moment, when you have your own run in with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not you saying grandmama's testimony, daddy's testimony, mama's testimony, sister, brother testimony, but it's your own testimony. He had revelation, according to Acts chapter 9. But then in Acts 18 verses 9 and 10, it says, and the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on, speak, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. Not only in Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 18, but in Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 22. And it says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee
And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Not only in Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 22, but in Acts chapter 23, Paul had another vision as the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also of me in Rome. Paul had encounters with Jesus that was supernatural, that was abundant in revelation. And he even speaks of an incident that he had in verses 3 through 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he was caught up into the third heaven. And he had received revelation from the throne room of God that was too much to utter among men. And he says, because of the extraordinary nature of the revelations that God had given unto me, a thorn was given me to keep me from exalting myself. All the reason is humility. You know, some of us tend to think because we have read a few more commentaries, because we have read the Sunday school lesson, come on in here with me now, and because we have read a few books and chapters and verses, that we are superior in our knowledge to others. But you just keep on thinking like that, because God knows how to bring you down. Oh, he knows how to do it. He will allow Satan to thrust you in your side, your most vital and vulnerable area. He will allow Satan to afflict you with a thorn to bring you down to where you're supposed to be. A few years ago, I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers preach, and he was saying that he aspired to be small. Wow. Great man like Dr. Adrian Rogers. He inspired to be small. And he said the reason so is because being small, God does great things through small people.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I says, wow. And I said, ever since that day, I'm ascribing to be small. Just where God wants me to be. Because when you start trying to be big, God can unleash some things in your life. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all say amen. And those things can show you that you are not who you think you are. There's a reason, and the reason was to keep him humble. But notice God's response, because when the thorn was given, Paul prayed three times about the thorn, for the removal of the thorn. Get rid of this agonizing thorn. Remove, Lord, from me what's causing me pain and misery, heartache, discomfort. Don't that sound like us? Some of us tend to think we have lost our spirituality and spiritual connection when we go through hard and discomforting, agonizing experiences. We tend to think that hard, discomforting, and agonizing experiences denotes God's disapproval of us as his children. But listen, all suffering is not a result of wrong.
Whew.
Some things you suffer for the right you do. Paul prayed. He prayed. Three times he prayed. Three times. He prayed. And he went away and he came back. And he prayed again. And he went away and he came back. He prayed three times for the removal of the thorn. And the thorn remained. God said no. Now, don't you get upset now, because this is where most immature members or most immature Christians lose it. Because an immature Christian believes that God should say yes to everything they pray for. But God said no. And he said no to Paul's request. And what got me is this. This is not the first time God said no. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying about the cup, God said no. Listen, no is an answer to our prayers. No is a sufficient answer. Just like yes. And no is not always negative. Because when God says no, he has a reason for saying no. Listen, if we would be honest and if we had an opportunity to all testify up in here, some of us will have to admit that we are better off with the thorn than without the thorn, because if we didn't have the thorn, we wouldn't even be up in here today. We would be somewhere living it up and living on the high side of the mountain, but because the Lord has allowed a thorn to be thrust in your side, you pray like you ought to. You attend church like you ought to. You read your Bible like you ought to. You witness like you ought to. You praise like. Do I have anybody in this room that can be a witness that if God had removed the thorn, you would be worse off than you are now? No is a sufficient answer. There's a reason he allows the thorn to remain in the flesh. He wants you to know his grace. See, grace doesn't always deliver you from. Sometimes grace delivers you in the midst of.
That's right.
It is always not God. It is not always God taking you from. Sometimes he equips you with grace right in the midst of it. I'm not going to remove the thorn. You need it. You need the pain. You need the misery. You need the discomfort. You need it. And God keeps it right there. He keeps it right there in your side. You wake up to it. You carry it all throughout the day. You rock it to sleep at night. Praying about it at night, hoping in the morning it's gone. Wake up the next morning. The thorn tap you on the shoulder and say, I'm still here, friend. where are we going today? And you struggle all day long again with the thorn. And then you get home and you do it all over again. You go back to sleep and it's still there. And God says there's a reason why I'm keeping it there. He says, I want you to know the sufficiency of my grace. He says, the promise of God is far greater than the problems of the thorn. He promised Paul his grace. Verse 9, God says, my grace is sufficient. And notice God's grace is an all-sufficient grace. All-sufficient grace of God means God's grace is enough to cover and keep us in all of our circumstances and situations. It is Jesus or John the Revelator in John 1 verse 14 that said Jesus came full of grace and we received of his fullness of grace unto grace, or grace upon grace. And he speaks of grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. Grace following after grace, after grace, after grace. So I'm never without grace. He keeps giving me grace. See, y'all don't know when to shout because y'all don't know what grace is. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. He gives me grace. After grace. After grace. When I look back over my life and I see all that God has done for me, I don't deserve it. It's grace after grace. After grace. I don't deserve to be here today. Grace after grace. I don't deserve to be in my right mind. Grace after grace. I don't deserve to have a portion of health and strength. Grace after grace. I don't deserve my family, my wife, and my children to be healthy. Grace after grace. I don't deserve the money that I have or where I live. Grace after grace. I don't deserve to be preaching. Grace after grace. Is there anybody in here can be a witness that will testify today that you too know you don't deserve to be where you are, but it's because God keeps giving you grace after grace after grace. He gives us grace unlimited and sufficient for all our needs. Paul called God's grace the abundance of grace in Romans chapter 5 verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14, he called it surpassing grace. And then Peter called God's grace in 1 Peter chapter 4, manifold grace, which means multicolored and multifaceted grace, which shows the sufficiency of God's grace. It is grace that's enough. That in every situation I find myself in, and every situation you find yourself in, God has given you grace enough to make it. You're going to survive. You're going to make it. Because you got abounding grace. It's overflowing grace. Grace more than I need. Grace. And the grace that he gives is sustaining grace. Oh God, help me. By God's grace, he gives us his strength to endure the weight of burdens we bear. The cross is heavy. Matter of fact, the Bible draws out the heaviness of the cross of Jesus stumbling under the weight of the cross. And Jesus said, if any man would come unto me, Let him deny himself. Take up his cross. That means that there's a weight on us. There's too much for us to bear. But thank God that I don't have to bear it alone, because he has given me grace. That in my weakness, I'm strong. Now that's some that we can't get with much, because we're too busy bragging about how strong we are. We don't really brag about how weak we are. To show the awesomeness of God, we brag about how strong we are. But instead, we ought to be bragging about how weak we are. Because Paul says that I would rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of God may be manifest. In other words, I'm busy bragging about how weak I am, so I can reveal to the people that I'm bragging about how weak I am, how much divine endowment I have. I'm not alone. Listen, I know you thought that I wasn't going to make it through that last storm. I know they thought you wasn't going to make it through that last storm, but you still sitting up in here. It's not because you were strong. It was because there was divine endowment. I know they thought you weren't going to make it through that last relational breakup that you had, but you still sitting up in here with a smile on your face. They didn't see that you have divine endowment. They didn't think you were going to make it through that foreclosure and that repossession, but you still sitting up in here with your praise on, because they didn't know that you had divine endowment. They didn't think you were going to make it when you got that pink slip on your job and you were sent home without any type of pay, but you were up in here with your praise face on, because they didn't see your divine endowment. Somebody here ought to help me. I got a friend with me that stick it closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. You can't see him, but he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. Let me go on to my seat now. Paul, he could rejoice and he could thank God because he had the Lord's grace with him. And he said that I would rather boast in all of my infirmities, because Christ's power may rest upon me. Listen, I got the Lord with me. And because the Lord is with me, he's more than the whole world against me. Is there anybody here can testify that you got Jesus on your side? And because Jesus is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. You can go on and praise now. You can go on and have your praise party, because God has given you grace. Grace is going to see you through. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them grace is going to see you through. Because grace is God. Not is giving you what you don't deserve. Grace is strength in your weakness. Grace will help you carry it all the way. Listen, I close with Jesus. Jesus came down through 42 generations. Landed in a lowly place called Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He walked the dusty streets of Palestine for 33 and a half long years. He walked the Via Dolorosa. He gave his hands to the spikes. He gave his feet to the spikes. He gave his head to the crown of thorns. He gave his side to the spear. He gave his spirit to his father. And he died on that cross. But thanks be to God, after he died on the cross, he gave his body to the grave. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. And I got to ask you my question just one time. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say yeah. grace. Grace. He keeps us humble. He keeps us dependent on Him. He gives us His strength in our weakness. Listen, tonight when you go before the Lord, or whenever you go before the Lord, tell Him how weak you are. Tell Him that you need Him in the midst of all of life. I can't make it, Lord, without You. I talk to Him on my knees. Get up off of my knees and lay in the bed looking up, still talking. Lord, I don't know. You know, that's what God wants to hear. I don't know. But You know. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. He loves for us to brag to Him how weak we are. Because when we brag to Him about how weak we are, what we are doing is saying to Him how much we need Him. Need You in everything. All of life. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Give the Lord your life. Second, if you're here and you're backslidden, come. Allow the Lord to restore you. Thirdly, if you're here in the need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come, 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 come today. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by ladder. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We had one on last Sunday to accept Jesus as Lord. Where's Mashbar? Come on, bring your baby. He said to his dad on last Sunday, "Dad, I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life." 5 years of age, through the preaching. And he said, "I want to be saved." And his dad says, "You know what you're saying?" He says, "Yes, I know Jesus is Lord. And He died for my sins." And I got happy over the phone, laughing and sharing with Brother Mashburn, because this is one less soul that the devil has his hands on. And I asked his dad, I said, "Did you take him through the plan of seven?" He says, "Yes, I did." And that's sufficient, because what the church should do is supplement parenting. Supplement, not substitute now, but supplement parenting. Deuteronomy 6 says, "Teach them as you go by the way, as you lay down, and as you rise up." Oh, he's saved because he has accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. 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 I want to baptize you. Is Jesus Lord of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for his soul. We pray that You keep him in the hollow of Your hand, that no weapon formed against him is able to prosper. Lord, raise him up as we help his father and mother raise him up and train him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give him courage, Lord, to stand and live for You. Forgive him of his sins and cleanse his heart. He's Yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, brother. Bless you, man. Bless you, mama. Amen. We'll set it next Sunday. Yeah, you'll be here next Sunday. Amen. We'll have baptism next Sunday. As the Ethiopian said, "What hindereth me?" Amen. There's some water. We're going to put some right there. And we baptize him. And we want you to be a part of it. All right. All right. Bless you, man. Bless you. Come on, give the Lord a hand again. Does everyone have a cup? If you don't, please raise your hand. If you don't have a communion cup, please raise your hand. During the Passover festival with his disciples, went in the upper room, took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take it in remembrance of me." After Jesus and his disciples supped together, he took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink." Text says, after Jesus and his disciples ate together, they went out into the Mount of Olives, having fellowship one with another, singing a hymn. Let us pray as we benedict and keep the hymn of God in your heart, the word of God in your heart, that it will keep you throughout this week and the remainder of your life. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. We pray now and ask your blessings upon these your people under the sound of my voice and all who's watching virtually. Give us of your love and grace and the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen.